Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for joining us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Steve Del Bianco is here, too, because I always like having Steve back on the show. Steve is vice president of the Association for Competitive Technology, and he's one of our top technology experts, especially with regard to public policy. Steve helps us to understand the importance of you and me being knowledgeable about what's going on out there in the world of public policy regarding technology. And he's our good friend, Steve Del Bianco. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, it's great to be back on.
It's good to have you here, as always. And what's the news out there?
You know, you talk about us and our role of keeping people informed, but even more than that, we advocate. We advocate for the positions of the tech industry and small tech firms in particular. And anxious to talk to you today about the Streamlined Sales Tax Project, because in that project there's been some particular developments lately that affect and impact small businesses.
Well, you know, my audience knows that we've talked, you and I've talked about this a number of times, and so I'm anxious for the update, because it seems to me that this is a year. We've talked about it in the past in as sort of a, as a warning, and just as an informational thing, but it seems to me like maybe there's some danger of something happening this year that we might not like.
I think this Congress, there certainly is. It may not be this year. It could be next year. But in the next 2 years, we think we're going to see significant movement. This summer, there'll be a particular change, too, as the states achieve their first goal of having 20% of the states having passed some laws in their legislatures that would require them to simplify and streamline their sales tax systems. That's the first step in the process down the road towards getting a congressional mandate, which would force small businesses, large businesses, all over the country to collect and remit sales taxes for every single jurisdiction that collects them.
So, Steve, let's back up just a little bit, and you help me with this. What happened, as I remember, is that states said, okay, we're losing sales tax revenue to the Internet, right?
Well, no, let's start a little simpler than that.
Okay.
This is not new at all. It's been 40 years that catalogs have been the remote sellers. And
good
so
point.
There's nothing new about this
good
at
point.
All, and it's really not the Internet. Catalogs are larger than the Internet when it comes to remote sales that aren't collected.
Remote, I should have said remote sales. Thank you for correcting me about that. That's
right.
An excellent point. But then they realized that in order to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, which was to collect sales tax on every sale that's delivered to the state that or sold in the state that they're in, they realized that there were some logistical, structural problems with the way sales tax is collected that was going to pretty much make it impossible for them to accomplish their goals. So now what you're saying is they've gone back and they're starting to clean up their own house. Is that what's happening?
Right, because as much as a logistical barrier, there was a constitutional one. The Constitution says that only Congress can regulate commerce amongst the states, so that a business in Alabama can't force a business from Virginia to collect its sales tax on shipments into Alabama unless the business in Virginia has a physical presence in Alabama.
Right. So they call it a nexus.
Right, exactly. So to clean that up, the states have promised to streamline and simplify their filing so you don't have to file in every single jurisdiction in the state, but rather just one filing for the state. For most small businesses, it would be monthly filing. The states have also promised to come up with simplified rules and definitions. They've also promised to compensate sellers for the burdens they take on to collect their sales tax. Those are great promises, and I have to tell you that my position, as well as my members, is that we fully support a state effort to simplify and streamline sales taxes, but we are very vigilant and want them to deliver on their promises before Congress grants them a mandate that forces everyone to collect for them.
Right.
In other words, we can't have a bait and switch here. We have to have a promise made as a promise kept.
Well, and one thing I want to I want you to remind us about how many different sales tax jurisdictions there are in the United States.
That's a favorite number in this debate, and there are 7,600 different taxing jurisdictions in the United States.
And Steve, there are people out there listening to the show who live in one county, but they do business all over their state, or maybe all over an adjoining state or two, and maybe they do business in 16 different counties, or maybe, maybe 40 different counties, or maybe 6 different counties. It doesn't matter. They know what you're talking about because they know that every time they remit sales tax to those jurisdictions, they have to do a different form, different calculation, and it's a real nightmare, isn't it?
It is, and the states are going to do something to simplify that. But in some states, it'll feel more complex because they have to move to a destination-based system so that the rate that's used is always the rate of the jurisdiction where the person lives.
Right. Steve, hold on to that thought. Folks, we got more to come. We're going to talk about this some more with Steve Del Bianco right after these messages. Folks, this is going to affect you regardless of how much online business you're doing. And that's the reason why I want to make sure that you know what's going on so you can at least be knowledgeable and maybe even participate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To go home. And he makes it fast. One more thing.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Hey, Steve.
Jim Blasingame.
Hey, Hey, Steve.
I'm here.
Folks, it's Steve Del Bianco. Remember him? Hey, Steve, you know what today is?
Uh-oh, February 2nd.
Today is mine and your anniversary.
Happy anniversary, baby.
Happy anniversary, baby. It's our fifth anniversary. How about that?
That's fantastic. That's what it is when you keep detailed archives like
we're
the Small Business Advocate does.
We're like baseball. We keep up with these things. And you're batting 1,000 so far every visit.
Well, I'm so glad we've transitioned into a new league. We're not talking about the antitrust trial anymore.
No kidding. Yeah, that's exactly right. Anyway, thank you for 5 good years.
Thanks for being with you. I'm so happy for your success.
I appreciate it. You too. Okay, folks, we're talking about the sales tax issue for remote sales, including catalog, including online sales. And here's my opinion. Now, you've heard me say this before. Most of you have. I don't blame the states for wanting to collect the sales tax on sales that are made in their state or delivered to their state. I don't blame them at all for that. I think that's the right thing to do. If anybody has to pay sales tax, everybody should have to pay sales tax. And so I don't think that there should be a disadvantage for people who don't have catalogs or who aren't selling online to have a disadvantage because somebody who does can have a lower price because they don't charge sales tax. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is collecting the tax, trying to make that fair for the states, making it unfair for small business owners who have to collect this stuff and remit it to all these different jurisdictions. That's where I've got a problem. And Steve, you got some good news on that, don't you?
I do, Jim, because as I said earlier, there's a two-step process here. The states had to simplify and then deliver on their promise and then run to Congress and ask them to force sellers everywhere to collect for them.
They actually tried that, didn't they?
Well, they drafted the legislation, and I had a hand in making sure that the legislation last time around, that is in the previous Congress, had a robust small business exception.
We talked about that in this show.
That's right. But that Congress, they're done now. So that law fell off the books, and it's time to draft a new one for the new Congress for the next 2 years. So last week, I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, not far from you, and we were working with state legislators to draft the language that they're going to hand to Congress and asking them for yet another round of a federal mandate. So in that debate was the question of how robust, if any, should the small business exception be? And I could explain a little bit more about what that is that at least in the previous law, we argued that a small business that did less than $5 million of interstate remote taxable sales, so they did, let's say the business itself could have been doing $7 or $8 million, but if they only did less than $5 million of interstate sales, they would not have to collect the sales tax for shipments they make into states where they don't have a physical presence.
Regardless of whether it's a catalog or internet or whatever.
Well, it could be any kind of business. The point was in that remote sales.
Right.
Exactly. And that was seen as a fairly robust small business exception. Is it enough? Is $5 million the right number? Well, frankly, Jim, who knows what the right number is unless and until the states come up with the software solutions that they've promised and they come up with the compensation that they're going to offer to sellers for the burden of collecting. And none of those are known yet. They're still working that out. So I think when all that's known, we'll have a better idea whether that's the right amount to have for the small business exception. But this past week in Biloxi, Mississippi, the debate actually turned to the question of whether we would have any small business exception at all. Mm. There was talk of dropping it completely or cutting it all the way down to, believe, catch this, $10,000.
Wow.
How could it be possible that a Main Street business that decided to throw up a website and does $15,000 or $20,000 a year in other states would have to collect for every state it shipped to?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you most small businesses tell me they wouldn't bother.
Mm-mm.
That
would be a deterrent. That would certainly be a deterrent for a lot of folks.
A deterrent to putting up a website.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. And the crime of this is that Main Street
or investing in a catalog.
Or the same thing, exactly. Because Main Street itself has been taking it in the shorts for 40 years from catalogs, from shopping malls, and from big box stores that make it very tough for Main Street to compete. So in many respects, Main Street turns to the Internet today as a way to reach customers that would never darken their doorstep.
Right.
And it would be a cruel irony to sort of take that away from them by not providing a robust small business exception.
Well, absolutely. And I want to thank you, Steve, for going down there to that meeting last week and for taking our position. Folks, when you hear me bragging on Steve and Jonathan Zook, who's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology, who's on the show often, when you hear me bragging on them and complimenting them and encouraging them for what they do, this is an example of that. I mean, and when you hear me say, you know, you ought to think about joining the Association for Competitive Technology, it's giving them a few bucks to support what they're doing. Basically, Steve went down there last week and fought for you. And you may not have felt like somebody fought for you, but it's just because you didn't know it. He was down there working for you. And these are the kinds of organizations that I encourage you to learn more about, because they're professionals at what they do. They're dedicated to making sure that you and I don't get caught between a rock and a hard place on some of these things. And you are well represented at these meetings. And Steve, on behalf of my audience, thank you.
Hey, Jim. Well, you're welcome very much. And there's still lots of work left to do. And there'll be a time when I'll be calling on you and your listeners to make sure that Congress knows that small businesses need to be protected from burdens that are completely disproportionate.
We want to do our fair share. We just don't want to be disproportionately burdened. And I know that's what you're working on. We got more to come with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. It's our fifth anniversary. How about that, folks? 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You can do anything with half of my blue suede shoes. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah! Blue, blue.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine.
We're back at 7 until the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. They're the Birds with Tambourine Man. Steve Del Bianco is almost old enough to remember the Birds, aren't you, Steve?
Absolutely.
Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. Steve, I want you to give us the website that you recommend that we check out to make sure that we keep up with all the things that are going on with based on what we're talking about.
Jim, there's two of them. ActOnline.org is our trade association representing small IT businesses. But we formed a coalition a couple of years ago to really focus on interstate e-commerce issues. And that's where we do most of our work on the streamlined sales tax. And that's at www.netchoice.org. Netchoice.org.
All right. Now, folks, if they're anxious to do what I said, and they're anxious to join an organization that can speak for them, that they know if they give a few bucks, we'll work hard for them. They should go to actonline.org.
Today, netchoice.org is the perfect spot to go for folks interested in following the sales tax, and there's a place to join now.
All right.
And for individuals or small businesses, there's no charge.
Okay.
We are interested in enlisting people that want to be informed and want to be engaged on this, because we may need you to stand up, write your congressman, your senator, and make some noise on this before the congressional mandate comes down.
Well, and the other thing, folks, you may be a perfect example of somebody that Steve could use in his arguments. Your business, they would probably like to know about you, wouldn't you, Steve? Because their businesses might be perfect examples to use to as a bona fide to show these legislators how you could be harmed with the wrong kind of legislation.
Jim, you couldn't be more right. I mean, yeah, I'm a smart guy, and I gave a good speech last week down at Biloxi, but that's not why we carried the day. We carried the day because real small businesses came with us,
right,
and told their story in a way that was that made the truth so evident that the state legislators did the right thing. And I'm hoping we can pull off the same truth-telling in Congress.
All right. Well, Steve, what's the rest of the information we need to know about this?
Jim, the reason the small business exception came under attack is the states are a little nervous. They don't know if that's the right number. But they're also very concerned.
$5 million.
The $5 million right. Breakpoint. And we won't know the right number until the states actually tell us what software and what compensation they're going to give to sellers. But the states are also concerned that if they make it simple for a big business, that maybe that means it's also simple for a small business. They actually use the phrase simple for one means simple for all. Mm-hmm. Well, I wish it were that. True. I wish it were simple, but it isn't. If a small business decides to throw up their own website to increase the amount of sales, they're going to need to draw eyeballs to that website. So they're going to need to make sure they're in search engines. They may even take the products that they sell and upload those products to search services like Google or Frugal or Microsoft mm-hmm. Shopping, Yahoo Shopping, AOL. You might use eBay. They might even use Amazon's shopping mall. And all of these different models have completely different ways that you pay them. They all have completely different ways that transactions are completed. Uh-huh. For many things like a Google or Yahoo search, if I search for a Callaway Golf Club on Yahoo, there'll be links to people that sell a Callaway Golf Club. But once I click on that link, Jim, it's up to me to complete the sale in the shopping cart that the right. That the vendor has himself. So Yahoo, in that case, or Google, they don't even participate in the sale.
Uh-huh.
And with eBay doesn't participate in the sale either. They link a buyer and a seller, and it's up to you guys to complete the transaction over email. So those kinds of business models are dramatically different from each other, and the states were kind of lumping them all together to say that any business that does e-commerce probably shouldn't be entitled to the small business exception, which is to say they would blow up the small business exception entirely. And that was the debate last week. And I think that the bona fides that came to Biloxi helped to make that point clear, that a small business does anything they can to drive eyeballs to their website or to drive traffic to their store. And there are multiple channels, and they don't make it easier for a small business to collect sales tax. All of these channels, in fact, make it more complex.
Folks, this is the reason that I want you to know about this, and we realize that some of this stuff is getting over into the weeds a little bit, and I appreciate you your interest and your attention today on this issue. But you're going to be hearing more about this. Your Chamber of Commerce is going to bring this up if they haven't already. Your local newspaper there's going to be a write up about this over the next 6 months. The national papers, you're going to read about it in USA Today or in some magazine, and we're trying to do is get you introduced to this debate so that you realize that you'll be a part of this debate. You're going to be affected by this debate, and so that when the time comes for you to take action, that you can and that you know how to do that. Give us that website again, Steve.
www.netchoice.org.
Steve, thank you for being here today. Thanks for all you do for small business owners, and we appreciate it very much, and happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Jim. Thanks for all you do.
See ya. Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. And he'll keep fighting for you and me, too. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.